Clint Sterner. Look at Sterner.
95.7 The Fan presents...
Clint Sterner is the last man standing. Now, who is Clint Sterner?
His two strongest strengths, he's competitive and he's smart.
Dive into the mind of former NFL quarterback Clint Sterner.
I'm going to put my hands on this bathroom counter and see if I can't twerk a little bit, see what it looks like, see what it feels like.
The Drive is live for Dirty's Daily.
Don't feel like it used to, boys. Doesn't feel like it's used to. Today's Dirty's Daily is powered by all my teachers out there, Ron. I'm going to give it up one time. We should do it on a daily basis. All my teachers out there.
Give it up to them.
All
those
my teachers
new,
out there.
New short haircuts.
Yeah, including the one that was in the drop-off line that Ron completely made feel uncomfortable this morning. I did not draw that parallel. Really did not, Ron. That was not done on purpose. I saw your smirk, and I thought of the lady that cut her hair real short in your drop-off line. But all my teachers out there, man, all y'all, we greatly appreciate you being a girl dad. I got a 2-plus-year-old and a 4-plus-year-old at home. And I'm going to tell you, man, knowing who we're dropping these babies off to every day, trusting who we drop these babies off to every day is a comfort that only a parent could understand. I greatly appreciate it. My girls went back to school today, boys, and I'm going to tell you, I'm super thankful, man. I'm always thankful, but I'm super thankful today on a day where – they get to go have fun, and we trust the people that take care of them. They do such a good job. Ron, I noticed today my 2-year-old got the little, you know, the older one's already grown out of it. I guess they don't do it anymore, but the little 2-year-old got the, you know, they circled the day Wednesday at the top, and I was happy and energetic today, and I ate most of my lunch, and I slept for an hour and 15 minutes, you know, those little reports. My wife sent it to me today. She texted a picture of it to me today, and it brought a tear to my eye, man. I text back, baby, we're going to miss them days. We got to enjoy them, soak them up while we can, because we're going to miss it when those happen. So all my teachers out there, man, thank you for what you do every single day to all ages out there. Again, even the lady that's probably feeling a little creeped out today because of Ron, thank you for what you do. Putting that extra time in the pickup line or the drop-off line.
Really good haircut.
Also, today I do want to remind all our listeners out there to be listening today live during the 5 p.m. hour. Ron's going to give you a cue to call for a shot to win a pair of front row bullpen tickets. Bullpen tickets today are what we're giving away, front row, to the Texans preseason game versus the Raiders. Now, there's been some bad news on the Texans front. We knew that Jaden Higgins, number 2 receiver on this team, his role was coming more and more prominent every day. He was the guy that the workload, it appeared that Nick Caley was tasking him with a lot of the pre-snap movement stuff, a lot of the blocking in the run game stuff, being 6, you know, how big is he, Ron? 6'4"?
Yeah, 6'4", 215.
215, yep. Something like that. I mean, he was able to do some things in a run game that not every wide receiver could do. He went down yesterday in the joint practice with the Raiders, and they made it official today after testing that Jaden Higgins has a torn ACL and is out for the season. First, prayers up to Jaden Higgins to get right. I know nobody's in more pain today and hurts more today than he does. But my thoughts go immediately to the ripple effect. The ripple effect of this injury, Ron, and I don't know that anybody in this organization doesn't feel this one, right? Whatever you thought this defense had to do in 2026, 2027, it just got more difficult. They've got to be as good or better than they were last year. They've got to be elite, and it just got more important with this injury. You flip over to the offensive side of the football, what's the next move? Nick Caserio, D'Amico Ryans, you're on the clock, right? The run game was something that, boy, I mean, you just absolutely pushed all of your chips to the middle of the table to start the season. Every offseason move you made was to get that run game right. Guess what? That run game better hit. Those moves better hit. It just became more important because you lost – Jaden Higgins for the season. You look at Nico. Hey, man, you got to do more. The number one receiver just became more important because the number 2 went out. The depth receivers, who's going to step up? right? The play. I mean, the list goes on and on, Ron. The ripple effect on this organization and this team losing this player is big. And I think the number one guy that this ripple effect is going to impact, Ron, is Nick Kaley.
Yeah.
This changes, in my opinion, like the expectations, the sense of urgency for Nick Kaley. One, as I mentioned, he is the guy that's responsible for getting the run game going. If this run game doesn't get going, sure, we're going to talk about Nick and we're going to talk about D'Amico, but the reality of it is the play caller is going to be the one that catches the brunt of it. The run game's got to get going. It's more important right now than it's ever been, given that you've got Nico Collins and a bunch of others. All right? And the second part, Ron, is one that for multiple years I've asked, damn sure hoped that Nick Kaley would graduate to this, given where the system that he came out of is one of the best in the league at doing it. I hoped that Nick Kaley would get here. Ron, it's absolute paramount that he does. He has to get here. In fact, I would argue that right now this injury to Jaden Higgins puts D'Amico Ryans in a place where he's got to walk into Nick Kaley's office and he's got to say, Nick, we've got to use Nico Collins the way that you're former boss uses Puka Nacua. We got to use Nico Collins the way that the guy that just that we're playing this week, the guy that just got a head job because he's such a good offensive mind, the Kubiak cat in Las Vegas, the way he used JSN last year in Seattle to the tune of a Super Bowl. We've got to use Nico Collins in that way. There has got to be a Nico Collins usage, Ron, that is Puka Nacua JSN like. I know it's crazy to think. I know it. I know it's so far beyond what we've seen them do with Nico Collins, but I'm telling you, Nico's got to be the one that takes the Jaden Higgins role.
Yeah, I mean, and again, to the point that you made, they have got to. I think make the point to have that be allowed that Nico becomes a bigger part. You know, the hope and the fear, and I know that you talked about it, is they don't normally think, all right, guys, they think, all right, we're going to plug somebody in that position and we're going to use them the same way we're going to use them, like the next guy up, so to speak. I just say and hope that they have learned from last year, because what we've heard in the offseason, Clint, is, and I think it goes to kind of what you're talking about, how much the injuries to the tight end room kind of derailed a little bit of what they wanted to do offensively. And the injuries to Joe Mixon kind of derailed what they wanted to do offensively, and they had to kind of try to change course, and their adjustments didn't seem to be great. When Brevin Jordan went down early and when Kate Stover went down early, kind of changed the game plan, and they seem to still struggle offensively. The hope is now that Nick Kaley and company have got more answers and a better idea of what they want to do when a major part goes out. And I think Jaden Higgins is one that counts as a major part.
Yeah, look, when Jaden Higgins goes down, the Texans' offense, the pressure on the offensive play caller goes through the roof, Ron. And there's no way to shape this. You've got a bunch of guys that have done diddly squat outside of Nico Collins at the wide receiver position. And you've got a tight end that you're going to feature more than any of the other tight ends in Dalton Schultz that has zero ability to separate. He has zero twitch, zero like game-changing type speed. He's a really good possession type receiver, a security blanket for the quarterback. He's not an X factor. He's not an explosive player, right? When it boils down to it, you've got one guy on that offense right now that's healthy. And you've got to start making moves moving forward that are going to put Nico Collins in position to be in multiple places in formations, including the backfield, to touch the football in the ways that you carry it and you catch it in the screen game, the mid-range game, the quick game, and the deep game. Like they have to peel back another layer of this offense, or they're going to really struggle. I just don't know how at this point in time you can take the approach of the ball's going to go to the open guy. Like Nico, I mean, DeMeco, and they got to change their whole song and dance. Nico Collins has to be a focal point. You got to find you got to find creative ways and how many different ways you can get the ball to Nico Collins. It has to happen. This isn't, you remember when we talked about, Ron, about, we've been talking about this topic for seems like 5 years, but do you remember when we talked about it with Bobby Slowick? And then all of a sudden everybody got hurt and he came out and Nico Collins catches a swing pass from I formation or from behind the quarterback in pistol.
Yep.
And it was like they did it for a game or two and then all of a sudden it disappeared. And we were like, what the hell? Why would you not do that all the time? Like he was forced into doing that. I think this is the force of nature that puts Nick Caley in a position of like, okay, I've got to use Nico Collins more. I mean, you cannot go into a game, Ron.
But again, Clint, they needed to do that before today's injury.
No, I agree.
And doubling and even more now. But no, I just don't know if that's their thought process, Clint. I just don't know if their thought process is, all right, that happens, so we gotta get more this way, as opposed to that happens, next guy up, we need you to step into that role and do the role as close as you can to what we expect from Higgins. I feel like that's their thought process out other than, all right, man, we got to get the ball more to 12.
Oh, I know what their thought process is, and I know what we default to, but I'm telling you, I think this is a big enough issue where DeMeco Ryan should make sure that the change is made. I mean, at the very least, Nico Collins, and we won't see this until game time against Buffalo, but at the very least, Nico Collins has to be your move guy. He has to be the guy. I said it multiple times over the last couple of weeks since training camp started. Literally, Jaden Higgins has said, I've taken on more the role of being the move guy and this and that. Like, Nico has to be that guy moving forward. I just don't know how, any other way to slice it, Ron. He's got to be used in a high-volume way, at least until you figure out what Noel is, if Tank comes back, right? Is Xavier Hutchinson, did he really take a step, or is he still more of a possession depth receiver? Like, you've got to make that. The pressure is on Nick Caley to get that done. I don't know how. In 2026 in the NFL, with an injury like this and a wide receiver room like this, I don't know how an offensive coordinator gets away with not taking that approach. I just, for me, Ron, it's going to be a tough pill to swallow if that's not obvious in week one against the Buffalo Bills. The second part of this thing, the ripple effect, is Caserio and Ryan's on who fills the void, Ron. Right now you got Nico, you got Hutch, you got Jarrett Wayne, you got Bond, who a lot of folks like coming, you got Justin Watson, and then you got injured Noel and injured Dale. I would argue that they need to add someone that's a proven player in a big way. And we watched, obviously, Diggs go to the Commanders. We watched Keenan Allen go to the Colts. We watched Deebo Samuels, I believe, go back to the 49ers. We've watched some wide receivers, some veteran wide receivers come off the market in the last handful of days, Ron. Somebody's got to fill that void. How do they accomplish that? Is it a veteran like a DeAndre Hopkins? Or is it we're going to move forward with who we've got and just trust a Bond or a Wayne or hope that Noel or Dale get healthy to fill that role?
Yeah, man, it's just when you just look at the guys that are on the streets, and obviously, Clint, it is – August 19th, and we're going into the second week of the preseason. There's only three preseason weeks. There's a reason that these guys haven't been picked up yet. And some of them are going into coaching, doing other stuff. And it's slim pickings, man. Keenan Allen was the last one there, and you saw what he did last year, and that could have been a potentially productive player. But the timing of this injury makes it tough when you look at, you know, the resources to go and try to fill the void. And to me, Clint, from what I am seeing, and I know some people have texted a lot about DeAndre Hopkins, it feels like it's either trade or growth from within to get anywhere close to meet maybe what you thought Higgins could bring to the table. Because I don't love a lot of what's left there free agency wise.
Yeah, look, I think you at this point, you know, you've got to get guys that you got to get somebody, and maybe that guy is in house, but you got to find somebody that can mentally go out and execute the offense, whatever position that is, can process the defenses and block the right guy. Can line up in the right spot and go in motion correctly and know what route to run, that knows the offense, it's kind of plug and play. I just think that even if it's a depth play, a longer term play, just an insurance policy, you got to go get it. Right now, I mean, you're so heavily dependent on Jalen Knoll and Tank Dell coming back at this point that it's painful.
Yeah. But those guys, you got to get those guys going. Jalen Knoll, we've already seen reports they're looking to ramp him up. And, you know, I don't know if there's any ramping up with Tank Dell with his injury. I think they're still going to probably try to go in his own time. But it does, you know, brighten the light on those guys when you have Higgins who's going to be out for the year. All right, coming up as we continue that big story, we'll probably hear from our guy Brandon Scott at the bottom of the hour about Higgins and more. But the Astros, they got to win tonight. They could find themselves tied for first place if they lose. They are back to 500 again. They've dropped back to 500 with a one-game lead over the Rangers. And who are they going to turn to? A rookie making his first start on the mound. We'll discuss the Astros coming up next.
95.7 The Fan presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
All right, welcome back in. As you are listening to The Fan right here, 95.7 The Fan and The Drive. Coming up at the bottom of the hour, Brandon Scott, B. Scott. We'll hear his thoughts as I think we're probably in to Texans report territory.
Holla at your boy.
Hey, and we got to talk to Brandon, because Brandon clearly was listening to our segment last week about the frozen Hennessy margaritas. And he went in and apparently just posted up and the other day and had a taste of them frozen margaritas and said,
"Hey Ron, that's how powerful the drive is."
Damn, man, right over, didn't it?
Hey, I mean, you made him change his brunch spot, didn't you?
Yeah, he said he's done. Yeah.
I mean, he was a staple at the other joint. Now all of a sudden, that hen margarita got him the toasted yolk, baby.
There it is. Yeah, and I tell you, listening out there, salespeople, it's power now. It's power in the drive. Come on now. Where you at? Toast it. Because I used to run into Brandon at that other spot quite often. I mean, Brandon live on the same side of town.
When you get a chance to party.
Yeah, so he does party. But B. Scott coming up here in just a bit. We'll get his thoughts on some of the big news as he's out there at Texas camp or Texans training camp. He was there for the joint practice yesterday. I know he was talking to a lot of guys this week. But the Astros, Clint, I'll be honest with you, and I don't know why I got to this place, but when they kind of extended that lead out, and what did they get it up to about? What did they get it up to about? 3 or 4 games in the West?
Yeah.
Like, I thought it was like, all right, we can move past the West, and now we'll see what they do overall in the American League. How can they catch the White Sox? I thought the West was almost done. I guess I have stupidly, I'll say it before you all can, stupidly trusted this team or felt differently about this team. And really, it was more not as much about the team, but the other terrible teams around them. But they have gotten this thing back to a one-game lead. They have gotten back to 500. And, Clint, they have to give the ball to Ethan Pacco, who is making his first start ever.
Well, this is not good.
And I've said it yesterday, ERA nearing 5 with a 4-6 record in his time up in Sugar Land. But they've got to give the ball to him in needing a win. He did win the Pacific Coast League pitcher of the month in June. It has not been great since, but he is going to get the ball tonight. And Clint, they have made this thing serious again with the way they've played here recently. And Clint, it is just inexcusable for them to lose the series to the Angels. And they're looking at that, and they need their young pitcher to come through and at least give them a chance.
Look, in order to do so, I agree with you. It'd be a crying-ass shame at this point if you drop a series, forget getting swept, if you drop a series to this team, it'd be a crying shame. Given all's at stake, it'd be a crying shame. Now, you know, you put yourself in a position where the bat's got to go out and give this young kid a chance, right? I mean, this can't be a game where we're talking about this kid gives you a quality start and the Astros lose 3-2. Can't be the case. The bullpen and the bats have to pick up this kid in a monster game to give us a chance to stay alive in a series and win a series against a team that, you'd be honest with you, you probably should have swept if you're serious about making a run this year. So, all eyes will be on the first-time starter, but the reality of it is Peña, Alvarez, Paredes, Altuve, those guys got to give the kid a chance to pitch with a lead and to pitch with some level of comfort and to feel like his team's got the support that he needs to get a W the first time out.
Yeah, and the offense has to come to play, and I'll give them a one-off yesterday. I don't think we'll see what was that, Peña, Altuve, Alvarez in there, Paredes in there, obviously.
Varsho,
Walker, Trammell. I think that was 1-7. I don't think we're going to see them go 1-24 against the Angels most nights.
This is a Jordan Baum Astros win night if I've ever seen it.
Yeah, it could be. The pressure that this cat, they probably should have let him start yesterday. The pressure that he is now under, Ethan Pecco, the pressure he is under making his first start, his major league debut, it's not like it's been going peachy for him in his time there. Like, this is, they need this game. They could literally be tied with the Rangers in first place after this game. So, they didn't put that man under some pressure right now. Last night, Christian Javier pitched. We talked about before the game. Clint, by the way, if you're missing the lineup tonight, Peña, Alvarez, Paredes, Altuve, top four. Oh, boy. They didn't put late night in. That means it's serious. Lamont Wade Jr. is in left field, batting fifth.
He should have frozen hand pregame.
Cam Smith, who is hitting .389 for the month and just hit another home run yesterday, cannot crack Lamont Wade Jr., but he is batting behind him. Christian Walker, he goes further in the lineup. Christian Walker's batting seventh. Taylor Trammell is in center, so your guy Varsho is getting the night off. And then Christian Vasquez, he is catching tonight for the young star. So that is the lineup tonight. But Christian Javier last night, Clint, and the people, you can answer this, 713-572-416, YouTube and Twitch. 4 innings, 5 hits, 2 earned runs, including a home run in that, 5 Ks, 1 strikeout. Do you think he did enough to stay in the rotation?
In this rotation, absolutely.
Yeah.
If this were any beyond Peter Lambert, if this was 3-5, if there was anybody even vying for the spot, I may be able to question him. But right now, I think we're looking at 3-5. Do we have somebody that can go out and give us 4 or 5 innings and give up 3 or fewer runs? And I think Javier's still in that mix. It wasn't ideal, obviously, but I think given the current state of this rotation, I think Christian Javier, the wheels have to come completely off in multiple starts for him to not be in the mix.
Listen, it wasn't great. 87 pitches in 4 innings. I mean, that's not ideal. But, I mean, Clint, four innings, 2 earned runs. I don't know how many guys are doing that. Now, you don't need 5 guys doing this. But right now, if you got guys that may not get you out the first inning, several of these guys down here. So, I think Christian Javier, with what everybody's done, Blanco's getting sitting down. You had to bring a rookie up in here. They had an opener last week. I think he at the very least gets one more opportunity to get a start. So that's what we're looking at with the Astros as they get ready for a hugely important game against the Angels tonight. Coming up, B. Scott, little Texans report. He will join us. We'll get his thoughts on the big news, the injury of Jaden Higgins, what it means to him, and maybe some other things that we are starting to see come about in camp. That's next.
Houston, it's time to turn up the heat. From Hiram Clark to Lake Houston, breaking news, bold takes, trades, and trash talk, you name it. Get ready for the hottest sports talk in the city.
I'll let your boy.
The B Block is hot on the drive.
There it is. Good open. Thank you, big voice man. Even though you've taken shots at me over the years, that is a strong open. That means, Clint, we are joined by B. Scott here on a Wednesday, 440. What's good with you, man?
Hey, look, I want to thank the big voice guy, but can I shout out Tyler? Because I know that the My Block Scarface touch to it has to be from Tyler's Houston roots. No way the big voice guy thought of that on his own.
Guilty.
So shout out to UT Mill for doing your thing back there.
Appreciate
man.
You, Skeezy. Happy Appreciate to do you. It. Love you joining us every Wednesday, man.
Yeah, man. That's right. Nicely done.
All right, let's get things going. I posed this question to the people in Clint earlier today. Obviously, the big news, Jaden Higgins is out for the year with a torn ACL. Obviously, this is not the Will Anderson, Derek Stingley, C.J. Stroud, Nico Collins level loss. If those are the top of the damn, you can't lose those guys. On a scale of 1 to you can't lose those guys, where do you think this one lands? Because we got people texting in throughout talking about, I turn the radio on and everybody's like, oh, what are we going to do? And I find out, oh, the number two receiver got hurt. How important is this, or how big a deal of a loss is this to you?
Yeah, those guys that you mentioned, that you listed, are, let's say, at a level 10 on a scale from 1 to 10. Jaden Higgins has got to be in that 7 to 8 range.
Yeah.
Like, right below them, but I would say definitely more than a 5. Like, this is not a moderate concern, shoulder shrug, next man up, even though you can say that, because it is literally going to be the next man up, whoever's the next guy that they decide is going to take that role. So you can say that, but it means more than that. And I know this is something that Clint talks about a lot when you talk about your number one receiver. So in this case, it'd be Nico Collins. You want to have a coverage dictator, so a wide receiver who dictates the coverage of the opposing defense. But then after that, you want to have a guy that compromises whatever decision it is that the defense makes, right? That makes them regret whatever decision it is that they make, whether that's, you know, shading more to Nico's side or taking their risks and letting everybody kind of go even Steven, if you will, and having two guys that can beat you one-on-one. And that's what you had in Jaden Higgins. You were forcing the defense to decide, do we want to overcommit to Nico Collins, or do we want to risk the idea of leaving guys on the island with just a little safety help maybe with Nico and Jaden Higgins on both sides? Now it doesn't really feel like you have that guy who's going to make the defense pay the price for already having a coverage dictator on your team and Nico Collins, and I think that that's important. So yeah, I think that this is a major loss. Short of losing your quarterback would be the major loss. But after that, we're talking about Will Anderson Jr., yeah, Derek Stingley Jr., Nico himself, Danielle Hunter's in that mix. After that, if they're in the 9 to 10 range, then you got to put, I say, Jaden Higgins right there in that 7 range. On top of the fact that we're not just projecting, and I think Lopez was talking about this, Reg and Lopez were talking about this on In the Loop. It's not that we were just projecting a leap from Jaden Higgins. I think we were doing that before training camp. But once we actually got to training camp and watched him play, watched him produce out there, we were comfortably ready to say that he had taken that leap and that we were going to expect him to fill that role. Then obviously he's not going to be available anymore.
Guys, I fully expect the fan base that hasn't been at training camp to be like, man, what are y'all talking about a number two or a depth receiver for? Man, this ain't no big deal. If you've been at training camp, to B. Scott's point, if you've been at training camp 2 weeks ago, if this happens, that number's at a 5 or 6 maybe, and we're going, okay, you know, get him in the training room and let's see who else steps up, right? That's not the case. This was not only a guy that was having a great training camp, appeared to be creating chemistry, but he was carrying more of the load than any other wide receiver when it comes to all the movements and what the offense was actually asking him to do. So I'm with you, B. Scott. This is at least an 8. I mean, this is at least an 8 on the How much of an impact does this have on this offense? Now, with that said, we know he's out for the year with the ACL. Where do you believe the Texans go from here? Is this truly a next man up, one of the guys on the depth chart that's had good training camps, or maybe a guy that's been injured? Or do you think they go get some outside help before, you know, back in the day we would have two or three cuts here where potentially a really good player could hit the streets and get cut by another team. In today's NFL, the cut, it's one cut. You go from 90 to 53 on August the 30th, I believe. Right? So we're still 2 weeks removed from that, B. Scott. So how do they fill the void of Jaden Higgins both in real time right now as well as down the stretch here in a week?
My sense is that they're going to do it by filling the back end of the roster as opposed to like another guy that's just going to come in and fill Jaden Higgins' role. So if you're just talking about Higgins' role in a vacuum, I think that is most likely going to be an internal candidate, whether we're talking about Xavier Hutchinson or if we're still doing the hope trafficking thing with Tank Dell. And cross your fingers that Tank Dell is ready to go at some point. I'm not trying to sell false hope on that and say that it is more than what it is. That's just sort of in the back pocket. But in the meantime, it could be Xavier Hutchinson in that role, and then crossing your fingers that Jalen Noel is ready to step into that slot role that it seemed like Xavier Hutchinson was going to fill. Because I think Xavier Hutchinson can go outside and inside. He's the most likely internal candidate in my view, and I think you're just at that point requiring Jalen Noel to really step into that slot position. But you got to think about the options that we're talking about, Clint. Unless there is a trade that I cannot predict at this point or foresee, and certainly that's a possibility, we're talking about the Tyreek Hills of the world. We're talking about the Brandon Cookses of the world. We're talking about DeAndre Hopkins. I mean, guys that are all pretty much age 32, 33 or older, and like the Sterling Shepherds of the world. Like that's what we're talking about when we look at who's on the street. Tyler Lockett. Somebody mentioned Tyler Lockett before. Tyler Lockett, I felt like, was 137 years old. Apparently, he's only 33, but it feels like he's been around for a long time.
He's
so
been shot.
There are not, I think, ideal external options unless there's a trade that we just can't predict here in this moment. My prediction is you see Xavier Hutchinson step into that role and that you hope you get Tank Dell back sooner rather than later, and certainly hope that Jalen Noel is ready to take on a larger role than what he had last year in the offense.
Brandon Scott here with us as he joins us each and every Wednesday, and will all throughout the football season and beyond. B. Scott, I think the bigger story – well, the biggest story prior to us finding out about Higgins was, and we sat down and talked about it as we were at that joint practice yesterday, and that is the offensive line and where they are. What do you make of this situation with the offensive line? Because we saw a lot of combinations and maybe some surprising combinations. What do you make of what's going on with that?
A lot of combinations and surprising combinations, as you just said. But long story short, it seems like they're trying to figure out, and this is just based off of what we're looking at practice, it seems like they're trying to figure out their best combination of whether it's Rutledge at center and Wyatt Teller at left guard, or is it Evan Brown at center and Wyatt Teller? Or I'm sorry, let me say that again. Evan Brown at center and Keelan Rutledge at the guard spot, right? So is it Rutledge and Teller, or is it Brown and Rutledge, right? And what combination would make their best five? Now, you can even argue that Ed Ingram hasn't had the best training camp as well, so there's a possibility that Rutledge could play either one of those guard spots. You and I talked about this, and I think it was actually you, Ron, who brought it up that made me think about it, and I've been thinking about it ever since, was – is Rutledge their best offensive lineman on the team right now?
We talked about it yesterday.
And it seems like the answer is yes. Like knee-jerk, like first immediate reaction would be yes. And even when I think about it longer, I still feel like the answer is yes. And so that being said, that means you know he's going to be out there on the field one way or another. It's just about finding out, is Evan Brown a better center than Wyatt Teller is a guard at this point? And what's the best usage of Rutledge at this point in his development, given the fact that he obviously has not played center extensively? So they're trying to, it seems like they are still trying to piece that together and figure that part out. You'd like to think that they've figured out in the next couple of weeks.
Yeah.
B. Scott, is that a concern? You've got Braden Smith battling for his football life on the right side with what we thought was Trent Brown, but now all of a sudden, wildly, we see Blake Fisher getting a lot of burn at right tackle as well. and Wyatt Teller. Helen, you even mentioned Ed Ingram struggling. I mean, you literally mentioned the three guys that they re-signed this year. Is that a – do you view that – because I think this is fair. Do you view that as, hey, man, they did a really good job of building depth, and Evan Brown and up ultimately Rutledge being a depth guard or maybe a starting guard, it gives them options? Or do you look at it through the lens that we've had to in the past of – boy, they really missed on these guys they signed.
Yeah, it really depends on what we think of Braden Smith and Wyatt Teller right now. Like, I can tell you from watching the handful of practices and training camp practices that I haven't had, like, overwhelming concerns about Wyatt Teller and Braden Smith. But clearly, they're either on a particular workload and ramp-up period or they've got their own concerns internally. I'm not sure exactly what the answer is.
Man, Wyatt Teller looking like a potential cut candidate if this thing continues.
If Wyatt Teller is a disappointment and Braden Smith is a disappointment, then obviously, Clint, that is not good, because not only do you not – I mean, you didn't sign those guys to be depth pieces. You signed those guys to be starters. And so if it turns out the best that they can do for you is be a depth piece – then they are a cut or trade candidate, right? And most likely a trade candidate of some sort. I've been saying that either one of those guys could be this year's version of Cam Robinson and God forbid, Lakin Tomlinson, right? So that is the waters that we're – to answer your question, yes, it is concerning, right? Because you're not just talking about depth, but you're talking about potentially your high-end talent. And then the residual effect of – the Braden Smith thing is now you're relying more on Trent Brown than what I was originally expecting. I thought Trent Brown was going to be the depth piece that you're talking about, the break glass in case of emergency if you just need him to give you 8 to 10 games or whatever it is. If you're saying that that's your day one right tackle, then now I feel a little bit differently about that, even though I like what Trent Brown was able to do for them last year. So it's going to hinge a lot on where are those guys at. Is it just a matter of slow playing veterans and keeping them fresh and healthy and trying to prevent injuries like what happened to Jaden Higgins yesterday and what happened to Graham Mertz in the preseason game? If you're just trying to prevent that, then okay. If those guys are just not playing up to the level, then that's an obvious concern.
Real quick. Frozen Hennessy margarita, scale of 1 to 10.
Bro, it is a 15 on a scale to 1 to 10. And I went in there. Here's the thing, too. I went in there yesterday, so it was Tuesday, and they had $5 margaritas. And I was just going to get the $5 margarita. But they kept selling me on the frozen Henny. And so I had to tell her, I was like, you know what? I hadn't heard about this frozen Henny already. I think I might try it. And so, oh, but you know the people in there are going to show love because it's us in there, right? And you know what I mean when I say that. But it gives me a free little shot of the frozen Henny.
That's the one Courtney got.
Yeah, just as a little test case. And I was like, you know what? Go ahead and give me that. And then they told me, and I'm kind of like you, Ron, when it comes to the flavors and making it, even if it's Hennessy. They say, you know, we got a little peach. We got a little strawberry. We got a little mango that can go with this. You want a flavor? I was like, do not threaten me with a good time. And they did that. So I mixed my Henny with a little bit of ice, a little frozen Henny, with some peach mixed in, a little mango mixed in.
Yeah, add it on.
Hey, man, let's go. They have a customer. Toast to you. Hey, Highway 6, Mo City. Let's go.
Hey, B. Scott, to be clear, when you said us, you meant you and Ron, correct?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, I just wanted to be clear. Well, Tyler and I felt left out.
Hey, y'all are invited.
That's all I want, baby. Yeah.
We told you who we feel like they pushing this thing to with Frozen Hennessy.
Well, not all whites look the same.
Look, I know who they pushing it to, and I know who they hired. All right, and it looks a particular way.
5 o'clock fire coming up next right here live on The Drive.
It's going to start a fire!